Too many cooks, too many cooks, too many cooks,
too many cooks,
too many cooks,
too many cooks.
This is Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll talk about a new report showing the difficulties of signing up for unemployment benefits in Wisconsin.
First, you've probably heard this theme song before. A few weeks ago, it seemed like everyone on the internet was obsessed with the late-night parody called Too Many Cooks. It's a mashup of parodies of different 80s sitcom opening themes.
Then it was the podcast Serial that everyone was talking about. The spinoff of This American Life is a true crime podcast about the 1999 murder of a Baltimore teen. Right now, everybody's listening to that, writing about it, sharing articles about it on Facebook. It seems to be everywhere.
And before that, it was True Detective everyone was talking about. Before that, it was the last season of Breaking Bad, the first season of Girls, and the list goes on and on.
Our culture jumps from obsession to obsession quicker than ever before. Here to talk about what she calls the new age of cultural manias is Willa Paskin, TV critic for Slate. Willa, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, before Too Many Cooks, before Girls, before Serial, yeah, we had other things. We had the Beatles, we had Roots, we had Elvis. What makes today's obsessions different?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One is that they're not actually bigger. You know, more people watched Roots or cared about the Beatles than know what Too Many Cooks is or watched True Detective or even Breaking Bad. But I think they feel more omnipresent in a certain way just because we're all hooked into so many other inputs. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on email, we're reading the internet. And so these things become omnipresent in a way I'm not quite sure they were before, where it was a little bit more like it was in the newspaper, it was in magazines, it was what you talked about with your friends, which is also the case. But now it's also just everywhere on the internet.
So how do you measure success then? If we can say that the numbers of popularity in terms of the people that are actually obsessed with these things is much smaller than about 50 years ago, what is the measure for success when you're the producer of these talk shows or of these podcasts?
Well, I mean, this question about cultural fragmentation and the size of audiences is obviously an important one, and one that I'm sure keeps people who are content creators up at night in general. You know, the size of audiences for everything is sort of smaller than it was just because there's so much stuff vying for our attention. So I think those people, those producers and content creators that do make something that it seems like everyone's talking about, are probably all very happy still that they sort of hit this kind of water cooler jackpot. Even if it's not quite as big an audience as, you know, it was, it might have been for their product, you know, 20 or 30 years ago.
I mean, it does seem at times like everyone, I guess everyone in quotes, is watching or listening to something. If you go on your Facebook feed, you see a million people talking about something. And so I guess it seems like, look, here's this random sample of people from all these different walks of my life, and they're all saying the same thing. Ergo, everybody's listening to Serial. Is that true in the way we think about it?
Well, obviously it's not true. You know, I mean, I think the thing that the internet does and Facebook and Twitter and these sort of social media and Instagram and all these things do is they make it feel like everybody you know is obsessed with something, and that everyone you know is maybe actually a really random selection of people, because it's not necessarily, you know, your intimate confidants and friends and family. It's, you know, people you went to grade school with or went to college with or knew, ran into once some night, you know, 3 years ago. It feels like a random sampling. But the reality is, of course, that that's a self-selected group of people that you are, you know, that you ran into at some point in your life. So I think the truth is that there are like lots of different bubbles of groups of people that are interested in totally different things. And clearly, you know, there's people that have never heard of Serial. It's only been on for 10 weeks, you know, or, no, you know, however many people watch Breaking Bad, it still wasn't more than 10 million at a time. So these things feel like they're everywhere, and it feels sort of objectively like they're everywhere. But of course, it's very easy to encounter people who, you know, don't care at all about it and aren't on Facebook and aren't on Twitter and aren't reading the same media that you're reading.
I have to ask a question kind of put through the unique lens of cynicism that only I can bring with regards to Serial, because I know people who are obsessed with it, who have been clamoring for every episode each week, and I've listened to almost every episode myself, but I did not get as hooked to it as other people seem to be. There's a part of me that says, this is a real case. It's still active. He was just granted an appeal. So there's going to be something more happening in real life in the newspapers with regards to it. So why are people so obsessed with the podcast? Can you shed some light on why it is such an addicting product for so many people?
Well, I think a lot of people sort of didn't listen to podcasts. You know, it's the most popular podcast of all time by a pretty significant margin. I think there was something like 5 million downloads a couple weeks ago. It's like a million people a week, which again is not a huge number compared to other medias, but is a big number for podcasts. And I think it's just very well crafted. And even though it is a true crime story, and it seems pretty clear there's not going to be some like gotcha revelation at the end of this, but we're not going to find out about who actually committed the murder. I think there is something about stories that have this kind of mystery element that allow all of us listening to sort of play the detective or to sort of measure what we think is happening versus the host, that is just really powerful as a narrative device.
Well, speaking about mysteries, it does seem a mystery at times why one thing catches on and another thing doesn't catch on. One thing that you write about is the show True Detective. We've got a clip of that.
To realize that all your life, not all your love, all your hate, all your memory, all your pain, it was all the same thing. It was all the same dream, a dream that you had inside a locked room. A dream about being a person.
So an eerie clip there of an eerie Matthew McConaughey. This is obviously, you know, a very unsettling show. It doesn't sound like something necessarily that tons of people would flock to. So why did that one become a cultural obsession?
Well, again, it also was a mystery, and because it was a fictional mystery, there was resolution. So I think there really was a lot of people that were interested in kind of finding out what was going to happen and who was going to have been the Yellow King, which was sort of the ultimate bad guy in that show. But, I mean, of course, you know, it does, that Matthew McConaughey clip as Rust Cole, he sounds very metaphysical. It sounds really sort of like esoteric but smart. But the truth is, it was an HBO show. It is an HBO show that starred two movie stars, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. It looked really beautiful. It was, again, it was sort of had all these genre pleasures, which is like it's a very straightforward detective story. So I think that the fact that it had this kind of higher brow patina to it, that it seemed like it was so smart, only really helped it in its popularity because sort of, you know, at baseline, it's a very familiar and popular format, which is a detective story starring famous guys on a network that we've all come to expect gives us good stuff.
So when you analyze the different hits in the various formats, Too Many Cooks, True Detective, Serial, is it apparent why these things are winners, or is there an element of just randomness to it?
I think there's definitely an element of randomness to it. I mean, I think part of I would like to think, anyway, that the key thing is that they're good, you know, that something has to actually be good for it to sort of spark this kind of frenzy. But, of course, there's things that are good that don't spark this kind of frenzy, you know. So I think there is, once it's at this threshold of excellence or competence, that then there's a huge element of luck to kind of what captures people's fancy in this kind of mass way.
Is it any sort of coincidence or not that some of these things can only be found through certain proprietary media distribution products such as like iTunes, and it's not something that's being broadcast into our homes on primetime network television like CBS or NBC, but we have to watch HBO, we have to subscribe to the premium cable channels and so forth to reach them?
I don't quite know the answer to that question. I think it's true. I think part of the appeal of these particular products is that they feel a little bit like their niche, even if they're not exactly, which is just to say it feels like you found them and it's special that you like them and that the people that you respect also like them. And you know, things that are on network television, don't always have that appeal because they really are available to everyone. There's a little bit of snobbiness sort of inherent in discovering something that there just can't be in it being on, you know, Tuesday nights at 8 where it's there for everyone to discover. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that it's totally impossible that if the network put on something really great that it couldn't spark this kind of attention. You know, like Twin Peaks is an example of a show that was, you know, it's on ABC and people were wild about it in exactly this way. It was this mystery, and people felt rapaciously interested in it. And that was obviously in the early 90s and a different moment for television. But, you know, that did happen. So I don't think it's impossible, but I do think that there is there is some element of the fact that they seem a little special and a little shiny is, I think, not irrelevant to their popularity.
Do you think we're missing out on anything as a culture that we don't have these huge cultural milestones that really, you know, mass numbers of people are watching? You know, to take one of your examples, Dallas, the TV show Dallas, was watched by millions and millions of people. So when you said who shot JR, everybody knew what you were talking about. Now it might just be, you know, a handful that seems like more than it is. So do you think as a culture there's something lost when it's not quite as many people all enjoying something at once?
Well, I mean, certainly that, you know, lots of people say that. And I think one of the things about the appeal of these sort of micro phenomenon, these like sort of things that feel like everyone's obsessed with them, even if it's not really everyone, is it's so rare, really, relatively speaking, to have something that everyone is excited about. You know, we're so much more used to having at this point sort of more narrow taste just because everyone's watching and consuming and listening to different stuff, that when something sort of seems like it's everywhere, that feels kind of exciting. You know, I mean, that's like something like Beyonce, you know, who is a pop star of a size that is sort of, or Taylor Swift, you know, they're famous in this way that people just sort of aren't anymore. There's something kind of exciting about everyone knowing about them. And I think that that's because it's sort of rarer than it was, people are less cynical and less jaded about, you know, the communal experience and the rare moments that it comes along.
And then how do these things sort of fizzle out?
Well, they just end, you know? I mean, the thing is, we're sort of like junkies for this phenomenon. It's like you find the thing you're obsessed with, your binge, you know, because the truth is, even if it doesn't rise to the level of like everybody talking about something, we kind of all operate this way at this point. Not all of us, but a lot of people, you know, like you're binge watching a show or you become obsessed with some record and you play it out, you know, like, and then you just kind of, you consume it, you hoover it, you eat it all so fast, and then you just have to go find the next thing.
Well, Willa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Willa Paskin, TV critic for Slate. She was with us to talk about the new age of cultural manias. And you can fill us in on your current cultural mania, your current obsession, and why you like it over on the Central Time Facebook page.